Well, if you have a Bible with you this evening, then turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. It's a well-known psalm. It's probably a psalm that is used quite often at the introduction to a service. And we're going to look at this psalm this evening as we consider our need to be a worshiping church. So Psalm 100, and we'll read the full psalm. Psalm 100, reading from verse 1 down to verse 5. And the psalmist says these words: "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." I'm just going to read that psalm again. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Everyone worships today. Not everyone likes to call it worship, and many don't even think about what they're doing. But whether we like it or not, we all worship something in our lives. We all have something that we center our lives around, something or someone that we hope will give us meaning in our life or purpose. And at our deepest level, we were created to worship God. But unfortunately, because of our sin, our affections have strayed, propelling us to worship everything and anything but God. We worship relationships, popularity or success. We can worship money and possessions. We can worship knowledge and achievement. We can worship sports teams. We can worship all of these different things. And we begin to treasure these things. They begin to consume our thoughts, our conversations, and eventually, if we're not careful, they easily become idols in our lives that displace God from his rightful place. But the Bible shows us that we were made to worship only one, God Almighty, because nothing and no one else truly satisfies. We're called to worship God individually and collectively in the church, but sometimes we can lose sight of our call to worship God, and as a result, we can let the world consume our worship. As a result, our individual and collective worship to God can very quickly become stale and even become mere routine. This isn't how the church should be today, and therefore we must search our hearts this evening, both individually and collectively, to determine whether we truly are a worshiping church today. To help us do this, I want us to study this psalm together and to remind ourselves of what true worship involves. Psalm 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving that gloriously depicts our worship to the Lord. And this psalm answers two simple questions about worship that I want us to consider this evening. And the first question is this, very simple: how do we worship God? And the second question is, why do we worship God? So the first question I want us to consider then is, how do we worship God? And as I ask that question, I'm sure many of you thought to yourself tonight, this may seem like a redundant question, because surely we all know how to worship God, don't we? It may seem to be a simple question, but it's not really. How do we worship God? Well, on a basic level, we can't. It's impossible for us to worship God by ourselves, because by nature, we are sinners. By nature, we are people who worship everything but God. We are people who naturally choose darkness rather than light. And as a result, we are people who dishonor and displease God. We cannot worship God unless there is a transformation in our lives. We cannot worship God unless He opens our blind eyes to His majesty and glory. We cannot worship God unless we've been brought from darkness into light and from death into life. We cannot worship God unless we've been transformed from a sinner into a child of God. And this is only possible when we realize our sin and that we are helpless to find forgiveness from our sin and relationship with God on our own and in our own strength. Once we realize this fact, we must come to Christ who died in our place on the cross of Calvary, and we must submit our lives to Him. And once we submit our lives to Christ, we are blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as a result, our eyes are opened to the glory of Christ, and our worship is then redirected from the world onto our God and His glory. Therefore, I want to start by saying that if you don't know Christ as your own and personal Savior tonight, then come to Him for salvation and let Him transform you so that you can worship God in relationship as you were created for. Only when we worship our God and Creator can we truly find meaning and contentment in life. And so in view of our salvation, the psalmist begins in verse 1 by saying these words: "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." And the psalmist, he begins by envisioning the people of God giving thanks together and lifting their praise and worshiping together in God's house. Just like loyal subjects would bring a glad shout in the presence of the king, we are to make a joyful noise in the presence of the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In other words, the psalmist is revealing the fact that God, He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be thankful people, people who truly delight in worshiping Him. This is why the psalmist informs us to make a joyful noise to the Lord. God should excite us tonight. He should overwhelm our hearts with praise and thanksgiving so that we cannot help but respond with thanksgiving and joyful worship. Think of those moments in your life when something has filled you with so much joy that you couldn't help but overflow it onto other people. Think of those times when you're filled with so much joy that you just cannot contain your excitement. I remember 3 years ago when my favorite football team, Leeds United, were in the second division, and it was the last game of the season. And they had to win in order to be promoted. And I remember when that goal went in that it ensured that they clinched promotion into the championship, I screamed. I ran around the house like a maniac and punched the air and all of these different things. I was so excited that I couldn't contain my joy. I also remember back in February when I surprised Nicole and asked her to marry me. Now, she's not here to defend herself, but when she turned round and she saw me down on one knee with an engagement ring in my hand, she was so overwhelmed with joy, she was so excited that she actually started jumping up and down on the spot and screaming. I hope and trust that that was because she was excited and not because she was scared. But when something excites us, we can't help but rejoice. Our joy just spills over. And this is the same response that the psalmist is calling from God's people to show. We should be excited and overwhelmed with joy when we consider what God has achieved for us when we didn't even deserve it in the first place. God should have deserted us in our sin, and yet He intervened through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to offer us the free gift of eternal life. We have been transformed from death to life, from children of wrath to children of God, from people doomed to eternal punishment to people blessed with eternal life. When we reflect upon these wonderful blessings, it should warm our hearts to the point that we want to praise God, we want to worship Him, we want to glorify Him who has made all of these blessings possible by His grace. We shouldn't be able to contain our excitement and joy, leading to true, heartfelt worship and adoration of God. But sometimes when we draw time aside in our day to worship God, through the reading of His Word and through prayer, we can lack that inner joy because we're worshiping Him out of mere routine. Sometimes when we meet together in the church to worship, we lack that excitement and that joy in the Lord. In fact, one commentator has said that at times when we worship and when we sing God's praise, we look as if we've been sucking on a lemon. At times we're simply making a noise, and we're not making a joyful noise to the Lord. We may be worshiping Him with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him, and we're not truly delighting in the Lord. Sometimes we can lose that excitement and joy in the Lord, and as a result, our worship becomes mere routine and subdued. If an unbeliever was to come into our worship service on a Sunday, would they be able to see just how much joy the Lord brings us? Would they be able to see the joy on our faces of knowing Christ as our Savior, knowing that our eternity is secure in the hands of our Savior? Or would they say that we're no different than the world, that we don't really have any joy? Well, that begs the question tonight, how can we make a joyful noise to the Lord in these moments? Well, why not try and begin your day as you mean to go on? Start your day in a God-centered way by reading the Bible or by coming before God in prayer, meditating upon His character, meditating upon His promises, so that you're reminding yourself of the wonderful grace of God. And as a result, you're filling your heart with the joy of the Lord. This will mean that we will be less likely to let our circumstances overshadow our worship. You see, if we approach the day without committing it to the Lord, our circumstances and difficulties can take their toll. So that when it comes to reading God's Word, to praying and to worshiping God, we are so overloaded with anxieties that we struggle to make a joyful noise. How many of you here this evening have struggled in your quiet times because of the circumstances of your life? I know I have on countless occasions. Therefore, we must enrich our lives with God's Word, with His promises and character, so that our circumstances won't dictate our worship. If we let our circumstances dictate our worship, then our worship will be circumstantial. In other words, we'll only be joyfully worshiping God when things are going well in our lives. But this shouldn't be the case, because we are to joyfully worship God in every circumstance, whether through times of joy and whether through times of sorrow. We worship God because He is in control of our lives, because His plans are perfect, and He is continually molding and shaping us into the image of Christ. And the more we draw alongside our God, the more we should be overwhelmed and amazed at His character and faithfulness towards us. And as a result, that we are not able to contain our praise and our worship for Him. This will allow us to worship God with our lips. But the psalmist continues to show us that we must also worship God with our actions as well. He says in verse 2, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing." In other words, our joyful worship doesn't stop with singing hymns and praising God on a Sunday. But rather, our joyful worship to God extends to how we live our daily lives every day. God has not only blessed us with salvation in Jesus Christ, but He has also blessed us with the wonderful privilege of being able to serve Him with our lives. He has blessed us all with gifts and abilities. What a privilege and honor, because God doesn't need us. He can do all things by His almighty power. He doesn't need us to fulfill His purposes. And yet the wonderful thing is that He delights in using us for His glory. This is why we should be able to serve the Lord with gladness, because it's a wonderful privilege to be used by God to glorify His holy and precious name. We don't deserve anything from God. And yet not only has He saved us by His grace, but He's also blessed us with gifts so that we might use them in the church to serve Him. What a God we serve today. The Apostle Paul speaks of this worship in the 12th chapter of Romans when he says these words, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." You see, Paul is showing us that we are able to worship God on a daily basis by offering our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. In other words, we can worship God by being obedient to His Word, by growing in Christ-likeness, by serving Him in the church. We are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, our whole lives are to be lived in obedience and in service to the Lord. We must be saturated in Christ. We do this with gladness because we realize the wonderful privilege it is to be used by God. We do this with gladness because we realize what we once were and that we deserve punishment from God, and yet we've received mercy and blessing. Therefore, it must be a delight for us to offer ourselves to Him in service, not because we have to, but because we truly delight in doing so, because we love Him. And we want to glorify His name. We want to respond to His love and blessings in our lives. We want to serve Him joyfully. This is why the psalmist continues to say, "Come into His presence with singing." We come into His presence with singing because we rejoice in offering Him our all, and because we don't see our worship as a chore, but instead as a privilege and an honor. But again, sometimes we can approach service in the church and we do see it as a chore. I can't really be bothered doing that. I'm tired. I'm not in the mood. But it's such a joy to serve the Lord. And that's what we always must remember, that we have been blessed abundantly in Christ. And it's such a joy to worship Him and to serve Him. Are we offering our bodies as a living sacrifice to God tonight? Are we collectively as a church serving the Lord with gladness? One commentator has said, "Our pews are occupied with people who want to be moved, but who do not want to move." Our pews are occupied with people who want to be moved, but who do not want to move. But if we are to move forward together in the church, then we must ensure that our worship leads to action as we actively serve the Lord together to the glory and honor of His name. Perhaps you're sitting here this evening feeling discouraged because you feel as if, "I'm not gifted by God. I can't be used in the church." But that's the wonderful thing. God has blessed you tonight with gifts to be used in the church. Seek the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to reveal your gifts to you. Seek the advice of people in the church and ask God in prayer boldly to bless you with opportunities to use your gifts in the church to serve Him to the glory and honor of His name. There's no need to be discouraged because you are gifted in the Lord and you do have a purpose in the sovereign plan of God. Let's learn to complement each other by striving side by side as we serve the Lord with gladness in this area of Belfast. How do we worship God? Well, secondly, we're going to look at why do we worship God. You see, if we are to be a worshiping church today, then our worship must always be informed. In other words, worship requires enlightenment, and therefore we must know who it is we're worshiping and why ultimately do we worship God. If we do not truly know God, then our worship will ultimately be meaningless and empty. The remaining verses of this psalm instruct and inform us concerning our worship to God. The psalmist says in verse 3, "Know that the Lord, He is God." The psalmist is showing us that the God who we worship is the one true God. And this should again bring joy and praise to our hearts because we worship the only true God. We don't worship an imposter or a false God. We worship the true God Almighty of this universe. We worship the God who is infinitely holy and majestic. We worship the God who is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. The more we know about God, the more we should be filled with joy and praise that a God so holy, that a God so perfect and righteous could ever love wretched sinners like us. As we grow in our knowledge of God, we should also be growing more aware of how much He deserves our worship and the glory laid at His feet. But in addition, the psalmist says, it is He who made us and we are His. Here's another reason why we should worship God. We worship Him because He is our Creator. Our God is majestic, holy, high above all creation, glorious in appearance. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the mountains and the seas. He created everything that we see today simply by the word of His power. But in addition, He also lovingly created you and me today. We are people of worth today because we've been created in the image of God. And if you ever doubt that, then listen to these words in Psalm 139. For you, that's God, for God formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. See how much intimacy the Lord had in your creation. These words reveal a wonderful truth about our God today. Our God has known us from eternity. He created us individually. He breathed life into our souls. The God who created all things by the word of His mouth, the God who is high above all creation, loves us today intimately and personally. God hasn't created us and left us to our own devices, but instead He continues to take an interest in our personal lives today. Because the psalmist goes on to say, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are unworthy of God. We deserve punishment and an eternity of separation from God because of our sin. And yet we have received grace and mercy today. We have the privilege of being chosen by God as His children. We have the privilege of being adopted into the family of God. What an honor and a privilege that when our God looks at us, He doesn't see our sin, but rather He sees the perfection of His Son who died in our place. What a privilege to know that we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This should give us reason to worship and praise our God, because we begin to realize just how undeserving we are. And again, just how abundantly we have been blessed in Christ. We are God's people, and our God is our shepherd. A shepherd in biblical times was a person who protected and provided for his sheep. And in the same way, our God is our shepherd because He protects and provides for us. If you ever doubt that truth, then again listen to these words of the well-known Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Here is a God who is known as the great I am. The God who is self-sufficient and needs nothing. He needs no wisdom from anyone else. He has all wisdom in Himself. He needs no power because He is all-powerful. He does not need to be worshipped or served today. He is eternal and unchangeable, and yet this same God has chosen to be our shepherd. The great God of the universe has stooped down to take care of you and me today. We have a God who protects us from evil and who provides for us on a daily basis. We have a God who directs us in paths of righteousness and leads us to still waters. We have a wonderful God, and the realization of this fact, it should drive us to praise and worship. Are you starting to see tonight just how much God has blessed us in Jesus Christ? We are His people in Christ. Regardless of what comes along in our life, we will always be His. Just as I was sharing with the children this morning, no one can pluck us from the hands of our God. What a wonderful truth that is today. Sickness may come along. Bereavement may rock our lives. Family problems may be continuous. But we will always be God's people. What joy that should bring to our hearts. We worship God because of who He is, but we also worship Him because of what He has done. The psalmist says in verse 4, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name." This verse reveals to us another glorious and wonderful truth about God. God is our Redeemer today. In the Old Testament, God's presence was in an inner room in the temple called the Holy of Holies. And it was a sacred room where ordinary people could not enter. Therefore, a thick curtain or veil separated this inner room from the holy place. And only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And once they did, they had to make meticulous preparations. For the ordinary people to approach God, they had to go through the gates of the outer wall and come into the inner courts. The outer courts. They were forbidden from entering the Holy of Holies, and therefore they were separated from God's presence. But now, friends, in Jesus Christ, through His sacrificial death on the cross, we can now come openly into God's presence. When Christ died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two, representing the fact that God's presence is now accessible to all in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, we have the privilege of entering into the innermost court and presence of the Lord to worship and to praise Him and to be in relationship with Him. We have this privilege not because of ourselves, not due to anything we offer, but instead through the grace of God. We enter this privileged position of worship because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He has made it all possible. We deserve nothing. In our sin, God should have abandoned us and left us to our destiny of eternal punishment. And yet He sent His Son and our Savior to take our sin upon Himself, to suffer and die on the cross in our place, so that we might be spared the penalty and set free from our sin and enriched with the living hope of eternity. Again, this should bring us reason to praise and worship God. Sometimes we can lose sight of the wonderful miracle that has taken place in our lives through Jesus Christ. And as a result, our worship can become subdued and empty. This is why we need to continually remind ourselves of what God has achieved for us in Christ. This is why we must preach the gospel to us ourselves every day so that we might rekindle that fire and joy in our hearts. But the psalmist continues in verse 5 to say, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations." We've already been given abundant reasons why we should praise and worship our God. And yet the psalmist continues to reveal God's character. The first revelation is that that our God is good. There is no shadow of sin. There is no shadow of selfishness or evil found in our God. Rather, our God is good, holy, and perfect. His steadfast love endures forever, which means that our God's love is never ending. We know this reality because Calvary is evidence that God's love endures forever. And even though times may get tough, we are assured today because God's steadfast love endures. No one or nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But in addition to this, our God is faithful to all generations. He does not abandon us, but instead he always remains good and faithful to the end. He is faithful to his word and promises. And we saw that this morning. I just want to share those things again that I mentioned. He has proved his faithfulness over the centuries. Remember Abraham, and he promised that his seed would inherit a promised land flowing with milk and honey. And even though the Israelites had to go over 400 years of slavery and 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, God's promises were still fulfilled. He promised in Genesis that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. And even though this wasn't fulfilled for thousands of years, God still remained faithful to his word in Jesus Christ. What comfort this should bring us as a church, because even though we live in a world of change and our circumstances constantly change, our God is unchanging. As I said this morning, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as we come to a close tonight, let's ensure that we are a worshiping church as we move forward into the unknown. We have seen from this psalm that we can worship God not only through our praise and worship, but we can also worship him through our obedience and service. But sometimes our worship to the Lord can be empty and subdued. Therefore, to ensure that we always remain a worshiping community here in Great Victoria Street, we must continually remind ourselves of why we worship God as revealed through this psalm. We worship God because he is our creator and he has formed us all individually. We worship God because he is our shepherd who provides and protects us. And we worship God with great joy in our hearts because he is our redeemer in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But we can also worship God with great joy because of his unchanging character. He is good. His love endures forever and he is faithful to the end. We have plenty to rejoice in as believers in Christ. Therefore, let's always worship him in spirit and in truth. But what if you're sitting here tonight and you don't know God in this way? Well, let me ask you a question as we finish. What do you center your life around tonight? Is it religion? Is it money or success? Is it a relationship? Is it knowledge or is it popularity? Well, we were all created to worship, but we were only created to worship one who is worthy of our worship. This is why nothing else in this world satisfies. Nothing that we try in this world satisfies our craving and for meaning and identity in life. If that's how you feel at the moment, then live your life with Jesus Christ as your center. Come to Jesus and ask him to forgive you for your wayward worship and commit your life to him as your Lord and Savior. Give your life over to worship Jesus and you will realize that you were created to worship just one. The one who truly satisfies. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. What a God we serve today. And we bring him all of the glory and honor. Because without him, we would be nowhere. To God be the glory. Amen.